Off the Ball, GAA.
Well, I'm hooked, Tommy. I'm going to the final with you. I'm a Dingle man. I'm going to try and get myself a jersey or at least a hat, bobble hat. Dingle won me heart on Saturday.
Did they?
Oh,
okay.
Big time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
You are very welcome back now. I'm happy to say we're joined in the line by Roberto Pico Lopez, captain of Shamrock Rovers, and of course, Cape Verde centre-back. Pico, how's it going? Good to chat to you.
All good, Owen, yeah. Thank you yourself, yes. Good to be on.
And a very happy new year. How was Christmas this year? Christmas of a different kind for you, I suspect.
Yeah, it was great, I have to say. It was busy, obviously, with baby Diego, and you know, just getting around to all the family and the cousins and that, like, and getting to show him off and getting his presents. Like, but it was nice. It was nice to have someone to make a fuss of.
How are you settling into fatherhood?
Yeah, it's been difficult. Obviously, had the challenges, but I'm loving every minute. I wasn't going to say it's great. Everything's going well. Obviously, they had its up and downs, like, but I wouldn't change it for the world. It's just so rewarding and so fulfilling. And I suppose just having this time off now to really sort of spend time at home with them and Leah, like, it's been great.
Yeah, like, I mean, from a football standpoint, maybe the initial objective was to be playing into January and for the European Odyssey to be going. I guess it's a real silver lining that you could put a full stop on the competitive action at the end of 2025, right? I know you would have had greater ambitions with Rovers in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I suppose even if we did get through the next phase, you still had a bit of downtime coming up, and that was always going to be nice. To have the Christmas off is great, I have to say. Just, it's a bit of downtime where you want to relax, you want to put the feet up, you want to eat the wrong things. Like, so it's always nice to have Christmas off. And yeah, look, we'd love to be coming back to a European fixture. Unfortunately, that's not the case. We let ourselves down that aspect.
How do you approach Christmas generally? Was this year a little bit different in terms of keeping the body taken over or whatever you need to do as a professional athlete?
No, I suppose having the experience of last year of having the long season and coming back sort of a bit earlier with a shortened pre-season, I think we followed the similar format, like, and it was important to switch off. To say it's very rare you get to switch off for 2 weeks, 3 weeks in our season. Like, so when the break comes, you need to take it. As much as you might try over the Christmas, it's very hard to undo a lot of work in 2 weeks or make drastic changes for the negative in 2-3 weeks. Like, so I suppose it's the mental break as well. After the first week to 10 days, I felt a bit itchy, I wanted to get back and doing something. Like, so you kind of probably go in the gym, go on your walks, go on your runs before maybe getting into a bit more of it. Right, I need to get a bit more structure on me trying to schedule and be ready for the pre-season.
In terms of this year then, are you the type of person, Pico, who jots down his goals at the start of the year and has like a very defined idea of what you want out of the year? Or because you're a footballer, are those objectives so blatantly obvious? Like, you're going to a World Cup, you've got your usual objectives with Shamrock Rovers. Do you even need to jot them down, or do you even need to have a think at the start of 2026, what do I want out of this year? Because, as I say, your life is dictated by football.
Yeah, look, I suppose in your head, you probably know what you want to achieve. Like, but I always feel it's important to write it down just to sort of hold yourself accountable. Like, and you can always reflect on it, look back on it and say, what do I need to achieve these goals? So yeah, it's something I like to do before the season starts. I just have a look at the season ahead, what would I like to achieve? Like, and try and work my way, like, in many steps towards that. Like, so look, yeah, last year was great. And the big motivation for me is when we came home from pre-season camp last year, we found out we're going to be having a baby, which I knew would be in October, pats away. I can't remember the date. yeah, so that was my motivation there. And one of the goals was, like, can we celebrate, like, a trophy or a league with the family, having Diego and Lee on the pitch, and thankfully that came true. Like, so just little sort of things jotted down just kind of reinforced it for me.
Has the arrival of Diego changed your motivation in some way?
A little bit, yeah. I suppose it sort of broadens it. Like, I suppose as a footballer, you can be quite selfish at times. Like, you want to win medals, you want to win cups, you want to drop, you want to qualify for Europa League. But now it's about making memories as well. Like, the family, like to say, we have some great photos of us on the pitch together. Like, and hoping a few years time when he's old enough and he gets it, he's able to look back and think, geez, that was great. Like, and for me as well, I'll always have them memories of, like, you're holding something much greater than a league trophy in your hands.
And that's more powerful, I'd imagine, as a motivating factor.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, not just doing it for yourself now, you're doing it for for your son, you're doing it for your kids, you're doing it for your family. Like, and a lot of players on, that I've played with, like, who've had kids and managers has always said the same. Like, it's more you're doing it for who you're doing it for, you're doing your family, you're doing it for your kids. And I really got that. I really started to understand that, like, when Diego came along.
And when they were telling you this over the past couple of years, were you thinking, that's nonsense, there's no way I could be more motivated, or there's no way they could be telling the truth here? And then when it actually happens, you're like, actually, you were telling the truth all along.
Yeah, look, and it's just, I didn't get it. And that's just parenthood in general. So you can try and empathise and try and realise, like, right, what's actually going through. But until you go through it, like, you haven't got an idea. You really don't. And it changed your world completely for the better, of course. But when you say you're tired without any kids, I'm sure the lads, my kids and the team are just laughing at me.
And sorry, Pico, when you said that you're jotting down your goals at the start of the year, is there anything left field there that we wouldn't expect that's actually included? Because, like, I'm sure it's win the cup, win the league, go into the knockout stages of Europe, get out of the group, I presume, in the World Cup. There's a couple of obvious ones there that I'm sure are no secrets. But is there anything out of the left field that maybe we wouldn't expect about you?
Not too much. I think, yeah, look, the goals are, I say, what can you win this year? Like, but I suppose I maybe just, like, subcategorize into what can I help to do to achieve it. Like, and obviously they have your big goals, but, like, how can I help that? Like, can I help keep clean sheets? Can I contribute, like, from corners and set pieces with a few goals here and there? Like, I think I always feel that I can pitch in with, I know, 5-6 goals, which is a bit ambitious, I know, like, but if I strive for that, and maybe one or two other defenders can chip in here, like, then it takes a bit of pressure off the strikers, and it might be a difference in terms of winning games and picking up points here or there. Like, and obviously clean sheets is huge. So yeah, like, nothing too out of the ordinary. Sure. So just you can't control every aspect of football, like, so you have to keep them sort of vague, I suppose.
Do you tell your teammates about these personal goals?
No, not really, but I'm sure they all know about them now. Yeah. Anybody who listens to the show, like, no, like, I say, it's like we all have our different goals, I'm sure, different ambitions. Like, we have a collective ambition as well. Like, I'm sure if you be trying every day, like, and I'm pretty sure the person next to me wants to win the league, or they want to be successful at the end of the year. Like, and I hope they think that about me as well. Like, but the goals are not for anybody else. Like, they probably know what they are, but they're for me. You say, that's why I want to hold myself accountable to my standards, and as I say, push my teammates every day in training, and I'm sure they do the same as well.
Don't give up comfort for style. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look good while feeling comfortable. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Where does the Cape Verde story sit at this point in the year? Like, if I'm even just thinking about, say, the last international window, while the emotions feel so strong still from a Republic of Ireland standpoint, it is now at this point, I must say, it feels like a long way away, and March feels like a long way away until the next meeting of the teams. So now that things have kind of chilled out, cooled down for you a small bit, do you still feel that unbelievable excitement for the World Cup and the joy after qualifying in the last window as well?
Yeah, look, it comes in waves. Right now, I'm just trying to switch off from all football, funny enough. Like, I say, it's important to. But look, when we qualified, it was amazing. And then, like, your focus is switched on to domestically, where you're trying to win the league, and then you're trying to win the cup, and then you're trying to qualify for the next phase of the Conference League. And then the draw happens. The draw was brilliant, because then you find out, right, who you're going to be competing against and where you're going to be playing. So that excitement was amazing, and it felt real. I suppose, again, like, obviously you qualify, but then so long passes and nothing really happens, and then the draw comes, like, right, this is real. And then, yeah, there's a bit of a lull again, a bit of downtime, and as you said, like, March and June are so far away, like, and there's a lot of football to be played domestically, which is really important. And that's where my focus will be. Like I say, as much as you want it, like, you can't play the World Cup next week, you can't play it next month, so that'll come when it comes. And in the meantime, like, I had to fully focus on Sean McGrawers, and that'll be my goal.
It's Spain, Uruguay and Saudi Arabia in Atlanta, Miami and Houston. I mean, it's an amazing draw, right?
Yeah, it's probably the best we could have asked for. Like, I remember just chatting to a few lads in the room after we beat Cameroon, like, and just obviously you're kind of getting ahead of yourselves because you're not there yet. Like, but thing that he want to play against, and you want a big name. So you're on the biggest stage for our sports that there is, like, and you want a big name, and you can't get much bigger than Spain and Uruguay, previous World Cup winners as well, like the South American team. You know how passionate their fans are, like, and I suppose like Saudi Arabia would be equivalent to us, maybe up and coming team, like we know the developments in their sort of country in regards to sport, like, so it'd be an interesting one, and it's probably something we could probably fear we'd get points out of, and they're probably looking at us the same, like, so that'd be a really competitive game for both.
Definitely, and like you've had to navigate the idea of being underdogs forever, really, like in the context of your qualification, you've had to qualify as underdogs. So that's a tag that you're going to be completely comfortable with, and the realization that you're possibly going to be underestimated by a few of your opponents in that group, which I presume is a great place to be. And when we talk about motivation earlier on, that's a very easy source of motivation.
Yeah, look, I suppose, yeah, we'd probably be labelled as underdogs, but I suppose in our group, we don't really pay attention to that. Like I say, we sort of address each game as it comes and try and respect it as if it's the most important game that we're going to play, because we have to. So it's all about it was all about qualifying for this tournament, same in previous like AFCON, a lot about getting there, but when you get there, like, you want to compete, you want to try and get out your group, like, so we're going to try and take points off teams. Will it be difficult? Of course it will be, like, but we have to believe we can, and we have to compete, like, we're trying to take points and try and get out of the group, and what an amazing like achievement that would be.
Can I ask, has the last couple of years, like playing in AFCON, qualifying for the World Cup, has that increased your own connection even more so with Cape Verde in terms of, I don't know, extended family or whatever the case may be? Have you felt a closer real-life connection as well as a football connection to the country?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been able to check back in with a few cousins like that I haven't seen in a long time or even never met before, which was really nice. And obviously learning the language and learning the culture has been really important to me. So when I got the call to play for Cape Verde, it was an opportunity that I probably never really took up growing up, in terms of looking back and finding out a bit more information about my family, where they come from and what does it mean to be Cape Verde. And yeah, I suppose every time I got called up and played for a squad, I tried learning a bit more, like, and more I felt more Cape Verdean as the years went on, like, which is a great feeling, I have to say.
Yeah, what does, I know it's a fairly vague idea and it's a hard one for you to explain, but what does being Cape Verdean mean outside of, you know, representing the team in a World Cup this year?
It means being laid back, to be honest with you. The people are really chill, laid back, just let energy flow, like, and you know, it's funny that you do see bits of your personality, like, and it's probably me just trying to like fill it up together, like, but like sort of look reflecting me as a person, and I see the culture Cape Verde, I definitely see sort of like traits that I sort of had, and then you can sort of have answers for them. And that sort of relaxed manner. And just don't worry about it, don't stress about future things. I just live in the moment, and yeah, it's really nice to have that connection and similar people around you.
And I presume there's a necessary contrast there, the laid-back nature of the country versus a country that's now overachieving relative to its population and country size on the world stage, which suggests a real competitive edge to the football culture and a really well-organised football culture as well, which maybe is in contrast with the laid-back kind of countrywide feel, I'd imagine.
Yeah, look, it's also a country that loves the football, I should say, like, yeah, as well. Like, and it was always been a dream of Cape Verde to play at a World Cup, to be on that level. And it's funny, when I first came in, that goal was being spoken of, like, can we be the first group to qualify for a World Cup? And this was like before qualifying for the first AFCON, like, it was all sort of steps, like, and they felt that we really had a really good group at that time. And it's sort of transpired that way, like, and it's amazing, like, when you go back to people, they just want to thank you so much just for putting Cape Verde on the map, putting them on this stage, because they feel a real sense of pride seeing their country's flags, their country's colours up there with the likes of your Spain, your Argentinians, Brazil's, Portugal's, like, and it means a lot to them.
Yeah, it's the beauty of this World Cup as well, right? Like, I mean, the one kind of downside is that you can't even you held the title for the smallest country to qualify for the World Cup for, what was it, one international window until Curaçao came along and rudely stole it off you.
Yeah, I think Iceland had it. We were second.
Yes, sorry.
Iceland had it beforehand. We were second, and then yeah, Curacao knocked us down to third. Like, but it's great. I think they're the football stories I think people live for. Like you have your football like great, and they'll always be respected in a high manner. Like, but just seeing like countries coming through like that, like. Have really like folks in our football developed it really well, like, and had to fight tooth and nail to be able to sit at the big table, like, and they really are like great stories, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what this World Cup holds. But like I said, there's a lot of football to be had to play domestically first, and I can't get
definitely
sidetrack on what's ahead and just focus on the now.
100%. How does it feel watching AFCON at the moment?
Yeah, it's good. I haven't been there to watch many games, just the odd one there too. Like, it's probably a bit sore that we didn't qualify, but then obviously the other side of that is I wouldn't have had a Christmas if we had qualified and wouldn't have got a break, so you sort of have to enjoy that. Like, but I've been looking up to play in Morocco before. I know the facilities down there are really, really top class. Like, the country is beautiful as well. It's geared towards football. Like, so it's been a great tournament so far, and hopefully it continues to be like that.
Just one last thing before I let you go, Pico. It did occur to me that the football you're playing right now, I'm not sure if you'd agree or not, is the best you've been playing, or at least of the very best quality that you've produced. And look, whenever any footballer gets to a certain stage in their career, questions, I'm sure, from the player themselves, from the coaches, start being asked, you know, how long can they keep at the peak? I did consider earlier, like, to what extent does the fact that you haven't been a full-time footballer your entire career, has that stood you in good stead when it comes to your longevity as a footballer, Pico? Like, being part-time for a while, in hindsight, has that actually given you a couple of extra years at your peak?
It's probably a difficult question to answer, because I know it's been weird in League of Ireland, like, part-time football and full-time football, there wasn't much difference. It was like one training in the evening, one training in the morning time. Like when I was at Bowes, we trained the same days that we trained at Rovers. I suppose the difference is there, like, when you're finished training at Rovers, you have time to go home, recovery. You put the feet up, relaxing, you're a bit more fresher, and then you have time, obviously, to work stuff on the pitch. Like, and when you're part-time, you're trying to balance a job as well. Like, so it's probably more hectic when you are part-time, because there's so many things you have to get to, whether the full-time you can just focus on the football. Like, so look, I've been lucky enough to sort of like manage myself, manage my body over the years, build up a nice foundation, and be lucky not to have any like serious injuries, and hopefully I can continue. And look, yeah, as I said, I'm feeling good, and I'm feeling strong, like, and hopefully I can continue for another couple of years anyway.
Definitely. Well, listen, Pico, it's been great catching up with you. Happy New Year once again, and congratulations on everything over the last 12 months. It's been absolutely sensational for you, and I'm sure we'll be catching up before the World Cup, but if not, very best of luck in the United States this June.
Thanks very much, John. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to yourself as well.
Cheers.
Off the Ball Daily.